never rode a We ain't never had no money riding nothing but a mule. Didn't have to take no money. Didn't take no money to ride that mule. Go out there and catch that mule and ride the years off. That's all we had. So I had a nice time when I was up there. But it's enjoyment. Everybody ought to try to get somewhere, but they can't get nowhere. They'll stay and work for our old boss. But they go, though, and get all kind of pretty calls. Every year she called me. I can't ever talk about it. I love her. That's really not talking. She said, George, is you saw our car? I said, no. Well, we done got a new car now. Here's the pretty thing was on the road. So come on, go look at it. I'd go around there. Woo, ain't this pretty?
That's true.
Yeah, I did. We ought to have something to know we was buying it, though, but I don't know what was the matter with us, do you know?
He bought my boss man a brand new...
Well, I'd buy one every other year. And she'd tell me, and she said, now, we would work hard. And she said, ooh, George. I said, I'm just so tired. Sometimes I'd go up there, I want to sit down, you know. I said, I'm just so tired. She said, ooh, George. I said, you know, my daughter just works so hard. I try to get her to keep from working. Now, if you work hard as she did, I don't know what you do. I said, she can't do the work I do. But she would do another kind of way. She teach school. I'd get out there and work, cut trees. When we moved down yonder on that place, I wish y'all say you're going down. I want y'all to see how much land we'd clean up down yonder on Old Shady Place. When us moved there, it wasn't but just a small place there was in the clear. And now you can't hardly get wood for the winter. We done clean up all of that ground. We clean up a new ground every spring we live.
Johnny, you keep saying we. Who is this we?
My children. I got my daughter, my oldest daughter, my sister's children. See, I raised my sister's children stayed there with me. Louise, my oldest daughter named Louise. She used to cut wood, haul wood just like a man. I just as they grew up, that's how I put them in the field. Them were my sister children. My sister died. She died on Shady Place. That's why we were down there. And left lots of children. And we raised them up until they got grown and married. Molly Bolin is one of them. That's one of the children. That's what we it is. There's lots of we. We work there.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you cut trees too?
Did I cut trees? I wish you'd see the trees I cut. You know, I want to tell you one thing. If you think I'm telling you a story, go in the neighborhood down there. Now, my sister had a little boy. He named Willie Shelton. He yet lived down there on the place. And he used to haul the wood. He was about 10 years old. He wasn't large enough to do much cut. I'd cut, and he'd haul. And he'd give me half of the wood. I'd cut 5 loads of wood every day. 5 loads, and he'd haul it. He hauled a load, 2 loads and a half to my house and 2 loads and a half to his house. That's how I got my wood. I cut it. Yeah, cut big. Couldn't hardly meet your arm around it. Wouldn't take me long. I'll tell you, I'm a good hackman. You ought to know. You don't know what good work in me. I can yet do it.
Yeah.
I can yet work.
A girl or a boy brought my down here to play by 2 years in a row. That's where you come from.
What's that for?
I don't remember what it was, girl or boy. Small girl or boy.
Yeah, cool.
Oh?
Well, there was a that a neighbor over there, a girl, Birch.
That must have been one day. I don't remember long time ago. There's
this farm south of us here. Folks were out milking, and they left the girl, oh, I don't know, she must have been around 6 or 8 years old, you know. Had one of these old box stoves, you know. And, you know, it was in the spring. Plenty cold, and there was some water from thawing, you know. So she went to open that stove, you know, to put in some more wood. Flame shot up. caught her, she tore out of the house towards the barn. The old lady grabbed her, threw her in her water puddle, you know.
She was three quarters burnt.
So, we get the doctor, you know. I come tearing over here and call the doctor. The doctor asked us to both go over there with him.
I expect him.
He was, huh? So, there is the real politician, Lou.
How are you, Oscar?
Fine. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Well, might as well make you acquainted around here, I suppose.
No.
My name is
Sager? You remember Oscar Anderson? You're kind of holding your own by the looks. You're not getting any slimmer.
I lost about 10 pounds.
Yeah?
Yeah, gradually taking off now.
Bad up to now, though.
No. Well, if you can get in there when the weather's a little better.
Hey, we got this field out here put up.
That's good. But how is the corn doing? Is it anything?
Well, it keeps cultivating bad. We'll have to get at that next. Yeah, it's coming.
Turns together about 33 years ago.
It's pretty hard to play that way like this. You know, but how do you tell I know the part? How do you tell I know the part? How do you tell I and Earl apart?
Oh, that's easy. I never had any trouble.
Earl's a better looking one.
Lieutenant.
Earl, quite a bit more.
Now, be good.
Dear friends, the members of the Villa River Garden Club are sponsoring this wedding today. We are gathered today to reenact the Moldy wedding ceremony that took place 40 years ago. At that time, Lena was young and foolish, and Archer was brave and foolisher. So they embarked on the ship that hasn't got wrecked yet. So, 40 years ago, the ship has many little ships that tied themselves to the big one. There was Fred, Aunt Emily, Aunt Art Jr., Robert, Ernie, and Marion. They have yet become individuals in their own right now and are sailing their own seas now with only an occasional parting from Lena and Art. The big ship has sailed bravely through many storms. But who has seen the storm? The ship has sailed in calm waters and it has sailed in a breeze filled with tenderness and lust. Lena, are you ready to get hitched to this man? He won't ever be president. He won't ever be governor. He won't even be chief of police. But he can get you a home, cows to milk, chickens to feed, clothes to wash. He's lonesome, it's true. Is that enough for you, Lena? Are you ready? He'll be a mother to your kids. He'll shelter you from the storm. He'll make the food good. The house, it will be warm. And the loving, it will be also good. Are you ready, Arthur? Say, I am.
I am.
Who is giving this bride away?
I am. I don't want to.
She's got to take that man. What's the matter, Ma? Didn't you marry me? For that poor
girl? I don't want to.
All right, Arthur, repeat after me. Arthur, will you take this one, Lena, and never complain or sneak out on her at night and make her do all the heavy work? Answer, I will.
I will.
Lena, will you take this one, Arthur, who is so mild-tempered but an awful gadabout too, who never works or has any money for your lawful wedded husband? Say, I will.
I will.
The ring, please. Now hold hands, please. And repeat after me. If you love me as I love you.
If you love me as I love you.
No knife can cut our love in two.
No knife can cut our love in two.
I now proclaim you man and wife. Go on, be happy.
Like a field, like an orchard, like a marriage, like a child, like children. There are those who guard the American earth, those who instead of plundering enrich the soil, save the potency of the seed, fight rust and erosion, plant the tree break, assure peace for fields and fruiting orchards. For grandchildren of every country who explode the lies and stand breasted always against the enemy. We greet in this man and woman a team against the seasons, against enemies, against blight, rust, the army worm, against incessant salesmen of war and shoddy. These years of their fruiting are years of all our lives. The track of them is in the leaves of drought, the dust of the earth, the hunger, the poor crops and the good crops, the prices, the anxiety of the world. And amidst the years of dark struggle, they have always cried, live, live. Turned upon dust and drought and death, their voice has come out of the pine country, always clear, saying, spring will come. It always does. Saying, shall brother battle brother, pointing always to the rising sun against the war makers for bread and work and freedom. In three wars, they have seen their sons and our sons and others go to war. But their voice has spoken brave as the tall pine. And in their time, they have seen the world rushing towards them in the pivot of their farm home. They have heard the shouts of brothers racing towards them. And the world has come up this drive to them. And they have gone down this drive to the world. Trudging against the pelting storm, we have called them and known they stood pivot in Pine County, in the sand, in the stone, in the rutabaga country. And we all have been strengthened And in the shape of history they stand and have their thoughts and hands molded, all of it with us. And in the dark of our democracy they shine, true Democrats, true and valiant defenders of mankind. Today we gather like leaves, gather the seeds of this great stalk, gather the years into one great burden of memory, gather the morning of the brotherhood of man into one great weight and bundle. Cast hands on this day, a taste of the liberation of all cities and all children and all besieged homes. And the presence of the great mother and the grandmother, of the children, of the succeeding generations of fighters and livers, part of our great folk, assuring us of peace and life. We greet you, a great choir, on this day. History's bells are ringing, and you have helped to pull the rope of their ringing. Ringing of the greatest life as you have lived it. For no life, no greater life can be led than by those who help the world fruiting. And secure you stand, delivering the verdant land, the home life, the freedom, life's golden harvest. And a light you stand amidst that harvest. And we greet you and reach across the fire to touch your hand.
Gentlemen, I got the story of Mr. and Mrs. Borchardt for honeymoon on their wedding night from one of their own daughter-in-law. I didn't know this myself, but I was told to pass it on to you folks. I understand that they traveled from Minneapolis to Duluth, and they got a room in a hotel in Duluth, overlooking the bay. Beautiful moonlight night, and it was getting kind of late at night, and then Mrs. Borchardt eventually went to bed, and Mr. Borchardt put the curtain up and kept looking at the bay at the moonlight. And she says, his wife says, all right, ain't you coming to bed pretty soon? Oh, he says, I want to look at this for a while. Went on later and later, and he still didn't come to bed. All right, ain't you coming to bed? No. Well, what do you mean by looking there all the time? Well, my mother told me at one time that this would be the most glorious night of my life, and I want to enjoy every minute of it. I've always heard that, in fact, I've heard Eric say that he was the big shot around here, the boss. I got a little incident to tell you in regard to that. Some years ago, a book agent came around here, was selling some magazine. And with a year's subscription, he would give where the man was the boss of the house, he would give him a pony. And if the lady was the boss of the house, he'd get a rooster. Well, he says, all right, says, by God, I'm boss here. Good, he says. What color of a horse do you want? Well, he says, wait a minute, I'll go in and ask the wife. I says, you better take the rooster.
Do you want the other bouquet?
Yeah, that's the one tasted pretty good. I'll start here.
I don't want you to talk into that machine there.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Would you mind that? Well, after the introduction you'll give me, I don't stand much chance, I guess. To begin with, I want you to know that
Well, I'm going to be the boss for half a minute now, Lou. I want to say I'm sure we appreciate everybody coming and helping us celebrate this occasion. We hadn't planned it this way, my better half and I. But the rest of the family insisted on a gathering of relatives and friends. And I want to thank you all for being here and helping us on this occasion. Probably I better shut up before I spoil what I've said. Unless, well, don't start showing mine.
Come on, my love. I'm too old. Stand over there. I should go out now. I got a handkerchief.
Well, how about you saying something?
Got a handkerchief.
You want it again? You have not. You got one.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Well, I think we should thank our children and the garden club and all the friends that took part in this program. And we surely want to thank Mary Delisier for the beautiful poems she wrote for us. And we want to thank all our friends for coming and making this day a memorial occasion. We can't switch it around. My husband likes onions, and I don't. The only way I eat onions is in self-defense. What do you think about it?
Oh, this is the night it rained at Coleman's during the writers' conference. The noise you hear in the back is the rain falling.
You better come in the dining room.
I kind of like this.
Well, yes, we're sort of in between drops.
That's
right. You know, Frank would write those his out and so the snow and the rain. You come in and make you feel more intimate with nature.
Well, I don't figure you
You just put new shingles on?
In one area, right in here.
Well, not exactly because it came before. Well, that's where the fault. It came to the house, part of the house comes down. Well, you have water anyway. You better bring your recorder in the other room and
enjoy it. It's all right. It runs under your wet.
Well, I should. I'll
take
down the drip.
A
new sound.
Yeah.
That would be good. Empty my shoe out for me.
I think you're sitting there and isn't raining on your bed, huh? No. No. I don't see why.
I don't either.
It might have been
the
rain wouldn't matter. Oh, it would, huh? Yeah, I suppose it being a disc, it would, Well.
This is a little nymph and her story about going to the dance. That all the professors were chasing her in the bushes. She was a charming one.
My name is Donna Times. I am 16 years old. I will be 17 this month, July 10th. I went to the dance Thursday night, and I had a wonderful gay time. First, at 9 o'clock, I went to the dance. I had to wait until about 9:30. And while I was waiting, it was just raining and pouring and everything, so finally I gave up and waited for my boyfriend, and I went inside. And while I was inside, I saw some old friends, and I talked to them, and then I was dancing. Then about close to 10 o'clock, my boyfriend came in. And so I slid across the floor with my skirts flared, and I said, "Hi, old partner." And he says, "Wow," he says, "long time no see." I said, "Yeah." I said, "What happened to you Sunday night?" "Oh," he says, "that's a long story." He says, "I'll tell you on the way home." So then I danced with him. And then about 11:30, we decided we were going to go home. At least he thought we were going to go home. So anyway, we left, and I went with my mother's, and I gave her some money. And then, well, we parked on the way, we were talking and everything like that. And I got to bed that night at 4 o'clock.
Oh. Follows a section of Charlie Roloff's speech. It should go with the other section of his reminiscences.
We had a meeting in Andrews Hotel. And of course, like I always do, all the people I know, I say, shake hands with them. I say hello to them, shake hands with them. And there were three ladies sitting, and very good friends of mine. So I said hello to them and shook hands with them. And there was a fourth one sitting in the same row. I just nicked at her, and I didn't know her, so I didn't shake hands with her. Now, I'm telling this beforehand, so you know what's going to happen to you tonight. So then later on, when the meeting was over and I had made my spiel there, this lady comes up to me and told me that she was a teacher, I think in Robbinsdale, and she had never been so delighted to hear a speaker who not only could speak, but could at the same time entertain. I says, "So you liked it, what I said? You believed?" "I believe every word. And if I could make the people, for instance, the other teachers in Robbinsdale, believe the story you told here, that such things happen in America, I would be mighty glad, but I'm afraid I can't. So I'm going to speak today to you, and I am going to entertain you at the same time." Now, we see that this old Charlie is still with us. They did not succeed twice already in my last 20 years to get me out of this country back to old Germany, which is no longer a Germany. It's a hot spot of a country. My people would be all in a grave there. And I should go over there after I have been working here honestly and truly for 41 years. Now, I am supposed to live on $52.40 a month in this country. And they would even take that away from me the minute they ship me out of this country. So I would be surely going over there worse than a poodle dog. Nobody could give me any work over there like they're doing over here, friends of mine. I had probably only one opportunity to go to these peat camps. That's a camp in which it's in northern Oldenburg, on a Hollandish border. It's a
camp for Hitler killed thousands and thousands of war prisoners, Russians and whatnot. They will still show you where those thousands and thousands of war prisoners are buried in the peat. That's what I could expect in Germany. I won't expect anything else. Okay. Now, that I am still here in this country, of course, that is up to you people. That is up to you people. I in the United States, it is every individual's business to become interested in it. Isn't that right, Pat? What I did at any time, this is not my story here. This is what somebody else wrote.
Charlie, you said that. I
thanked you. That's right. So I thanked you. Just a moment. Any time in my life, I did all this because it was the right thing to do. I have never been a criminal in Germany or in America. And in both countries, nobody ever accused me of or arrested me for criminal acts. Nevertheless, I have been arrested, mortified, come on, hounded and spied upon by immigration and FBI agents ever since 1935. Exactly for 20 years. That's a nice life, isn't it? This is the story of my life in America. Let it be the answer to those people who keep on asking me, why do they arrest you ever so often? What have you done? Charlie is as Charlie is, and that's all there is to it. There's probably only one Charlie in the whole universe. So I make friends easy. No trouble at all. So they take me to the houses, they invite me to their dinners, and oh, come and see us again, Charlie, and come and see us again. So now, who didn't, of course, know anything about me? My case. But now it got kind of thick. They put a nice big picture in my paper this last time, especially. Now everybody seems to know now. Now they ask me, well, how can they do that? Arrest you. You could have never done anything. That's where these people talk. No, I haven't done anything. No, I haven't done anything. Then I tried to tell them this story. So then I wrote this history of mine now as good as one place the other night. I go in there once in a while and have a glass of beer. There is a party. I don't know if all of you remember, the last 2 years I was working in a store on Cedar Avenue. And I was really the one who kept the spirit going in this store. So Horseman, who owns the store, Horseman and the bankers there on Cedar Avenue who owned this store and many other buildings, he felt awful bad when I gave up the job last fall. That, we miss you and this and that. So Horseman would like me to come back there. I should start a store there, see? I haven't got the money to start anything as far as that goes. So now there's a couple, a family. They want to rent it. They want to rent it. And you tell us where we can get the goods and you come in with us. We put it 50-50, something like that. So the other night, I could come into this bar to have my beer. And these people, they were there, sitting there by the table, and were praising Charlie. And look at that one fellow said, he even has been a communist. He even once belonged to the Communist Party. Now just think of that. Well, I was surprised. And everybody heard it. And nobody thought anything about it. That was something great. He had belonged once to the Communist Party. Oh, is it that so long ago? I forgot about it. So, I mean, what I said before, this bunchy, this summit, means something.
to the relaxation which is taking place in the world. My case is now, Tanya said a few words about it. Tanya, that's right, Tanya. Said a few words about it. I just love it. In other words, I want to stay here as long as I live. I want to talk a little bit more. I'm pretty fine. Next Wednesday, the 19th of this month, I will be 72 years old. And from there on, I am going right into my first million. From then on, nobody can ask me any longer that I can make just, or tell me any longer that I can make just $75 a month and then exploit me to beat the band, use my car, or use my car and the expenses of my car to do their business for them, like in that store, for instance, see? Nobody can. Now I can make $100 a month.
Oh.
But from Tuesday on, I can make all the money I want. And, of course, then I soon will be a millionaire, you know. Eat soup which is made out of grass which grows there. Huh. This would beat everything in America, wouldn't it? So, let's stay here. Now, I have lived a very interesting life. A very interesting life. In my young years, my best companions and my most valuable companions were the German poets. Goethe, Schiller, Heine, Chamisso, all the way down the line. They were always around me, and they are today. So here, 72 years old, I will think of one fella. His name is Goethe. He says, for instance, thinking back of all these many years, wife, boy, life before, childhood, and so forth. I said this, and I will translate it. First, I want to say it for my own happiness, no? And for my own birthday. Ihr bringt mit euch die Bilder froher Tage. Und manche liebe Schatten steigen auf, gleich einer alten, längst verklungenen Sorge. Steigt erste Liebe und Freundschaft mit ihr auf. So, here I am, 72 years old, dreaming about times gone by. So I said to myself, you are bringing back, you bring me right to build a four target. You are bringing back, now my thought, beautiful days and happy days. Und manche liebe Schatten steigen auf. Und many beautiful shadows, I will call it pictures, and many beautiful shadows or pictures coming before my eyes. Gleich eine alten Längs verklungen sah. You know, this is now all long ago. So like an alt and length verklungen Tage. Like an old, long, long, gone into the wind, let's call it that. Like a long, gone into the wind or gone saga. You know what a saga is? Like erste Liebe und Freundschaft mit. So that's beautiful, isn't it? So like a long, gone story. First love and first friendship comes right before my eyes again. That's from Goethe. You know Bertha Anderson. Bertha Anderson lives right now, for the sake of her health, a very careful diet life. I had to go through that. One time I was a clerk in a champagne factory. Right out of my military time, I was through in 1905 with my military. From 3 to 5, I was a soldier in Germany. Of course, like I said before, anyone who has a fairly straight body had to go to the army. Okay, so I had to go to the army. And so in 1905, I went to a factory. Somebody wanted a job, a shipping clerk job, in a champagne factory. So I will tell you little things out of my life which are also significant for me, for instance. In this champagne factory, what did I have to do there? Well, first of all, I had to ship the champagne, but I had to make it myself.
Oh.
How did I have to make it? Champagne comes in barrels from the Champagne in by Marseille in near Paris. The real one is used in Europe. And this was in Metz, Lorraine, where the factory was. In big barrels, that big, you know. And then our boys in a cellar say, take it, put it on bottles, take it out on bottles, you know. But it's very dirty then, you must remember. All the sets are still in the wine. It's still wine. Now come I and put certain amount of liquor into it. So there come these names from, sec, to me sec, and dry. To me sec, they think about all over, but England would want sec, or a dry even, see. America would take sec, England would rather take dry. So that's what I did. Now, then I was drinking all of the champagne. So, I would give the rules for the how much liquor is going to be put in this bunch, in that bunch, in that bunch, that goes to America, that goes to England, that goes to Russia, that goes to Austria, and so forth and so forth. Then we had a big cellar master there. He was about that round. So the cellar master and I, after we had done all this work around 4:30 or so, we would go down deep into the cool cellar. And there you would drink one of the best. And then I stayed there 3 years. See, it all goes in life. I stayed there 3 years, and I noticed there was something wrong with me, see? Because every night, I was never drunk. We were never, neither the cellar master, as big as he was, or I, we were never drunk. But every night, we had ourselves full of wine up to here. Not every night exactly, but the weekdays anyway. So then came a time when Charlie had to change. That was probably in the middle 20s. I think it was 12 years. Well, I learned more than ever before about life. I lived a very careful life for many, many years. Finally, Jenny and I became... Jenny, she had been living that way anyway. That's why I met her. So then finally we came to America. I didn't need to smoke, nor drink, nor touch anything which was dangerous to my body. That's what I thought, see? Of course, I was just a businessman. And as far as that was, a good one, only I was too good to people. They always cheated and beat me, see? So then I came to America, and since I was brought up on a farm, I'm just a son of a peasant over there. My father and mother were peasants. And the other two boys stayed on the farm, and the sister married some contractor, and I went and learned the business. So when I, and here I could work. Oh, how I love to get a hammer in my hand or run a plow again. I am telling you, that's why some people thought it fit very good into my life, this desire to work. I lost my wife so young, and Danny could really go from place to place. So some people thought he was just a wanderer. No, I was not a wanderer. I like to work and do all types of work. How much kick did I get of working on the railroad for you? Then the boss come up there and tells me, Charlie, that other guy is sick. That other guy is sick. You run this thing today. You know, an engine from the coal and sand to the pit. Whew, I can't run. I never run this thing. Nothing to it. Just the throttle and just the brake. That's the way he always talks. He was rough. Oh, he was rough. But he was not rough at me. He seemed to like me. So I took the throttle. Poof, poof, poof. Yeah, I said, that's right. That's all there is to it.